950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Michael Broadcorp covers politics, a lot of it on the right in the state of Minnesota. Of course, he's a known author as well for The Girls Are Gone. You can find his stuff over at michaelbroadcorp.com. That's michaelbroadcorp.com, as well as also follow his Twitter feed. It's quite exceptional. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about politics. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Are you okay after the log rolling? I saw that you and Dean Phillips attempted to do a log rolling together. You both look pretty wet, so I don't think it went too well. Are you okay? Did you fall in the log or anything?
So here's honestly, got a true story. First of all, wonderful opportunity to do it. It was an honor to meet Dean Phillips, Congressman Phillips, excuse me. Nice to meet him, and we had a great time just kind of at the state fairgrounds for a few minutes. I will say that I did land on the log at least once right on my rear end, and I've been a little sore today. So everything else turned out great. It was a wonderful experience. I would do it again, but I do have a little bit of a sore end today, which comes with the territory. But it was an absolutely wonderful experience to do. Nice to meet Congressman Phillips. It was a nice opportunity just to show that a Republican and Democrat can get along, and not be tearing at each other all the time, which is just great to do.
The congressman did not hurt himself. I mean, I saw he was wet too, so he went into the water. He did not hurt himself, did he?
No, not at all. He was incredibly graceful. He was up on the log longer than I did. He had much better balance. Did a fantastic job, and so my compliments to him. I said, if there's ever a congressional caucus kind of log rolling event, he should certainly chair it in some capacity, because he did a great job yesterday.
I've been asked to go do the dog competition. No, I.
Nice.
Okay, you're at the state fair. Can I ask you, what is your thoughts on spending money on an airplane with a banner behind it?
I let me just give you some context. It's fun to do, like, on a day or two. Like, when I was involved in more partisan politics, when John Kerry visited the state fair booth, when he was running for president in 2004, someone flew a banner. I don't know if it was the state party or the RNC, or someone flew a banner over the fair. You know, it's kind of a shtick. The state fair is all about kind of shticks and gimmicks. What I find so challenging about it is that seems to be the only kind of visibility that you're seeing is a banner at the state fairgrounds flying over a plane. And I just don't know. The state fair is a high visibility event, but I honestly don't know at what point, if that's the only thing you're doing. I just don't think it's that effective of a campaign message, a way to effectively deliver a campaign message. The most effective way to deliver a political message, is on television. It's what all of the major league campaigns are doing right now. And so the context of, some of the little bit of criticism I had about that, or kind of mocking a little bit, was, there was an analysis that was done, and I posted this on my social media account. I retweeted someone. They noted that the DFL and Tim Walz, kind of allies, had two hundred and thirty-four times as much money to spend in the governor's race than Scott Jensen. I largely think that's an absolute that the financial disparity is a reflection on how people view the two candidates. I think that Scott Jensen has failed very well at not making people not believe that the race is close, which I don't think the race is as close as I think a lot of people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that, there's a lot of time between now and the election day. A lot can happen. But Scott Jensen, I don't think, has convinced the donor community and other people that would necessarily be a part of, spending money in Minnesota. He hasn't convinced him that he's a credible candidate that can actually defeat Tim Walz. I think Tim Walz has done a very good job of aligning all of the necessary things that he needs to do to win in this environment. And I think the general kind of consensus is that this political environment has been good for Republicans. It's based on kind of recent polling, it's kind of trending better towards the Democrats. But Republicans should have a fighting chance in this environment to perform. And if Tim Walz had a to-do list of all the things kind of operationally from a campaign perspective that he needed to do within his wheelhouse, his fundraising, he doesn't have any control about the outside groups, but the outside groups and the donors are ready and they have a lot of spendable money that they're prepared to spend in this race. Scott Jensen and the Republicans haven't produced that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they're doing cartwheels and kind of end zone dancing over, a banner flying over the state fairgrounds, let's put it in context. I mean, yeah. You know, that's fun to do, but it's not a meaningful way to deliver a campaign message.
It's vanity advertisement. It's basically advertising for your own party. No one's looking at a plane saying, well, I guess I'm going to vote Republican. It's basically just to kind of go to the masses. But you yourself had mentioned the problem that Jensen is having is unforced errors. Last week was a freaking nightmare for him. He could not get out of his own way trying to compare face mask regulations to what happened to the Jews under the Nazis. And he tripled down on it, ran away from the Republican Jewish coalition event after he did his quick little speech and got out of there. That it's these kind of unforced errors that are derailing any kind of potential for message for him. And I think he's done a better job a little bit with the state fair. But, I mean, what is he going to do after the state fair? As you pointed out, he's got such a money disadvantage. I don't know where he's going to go after this.
I don't think there is anyone who went through the pandemic and went through COVID that is happy that they had to wear masks or that we had lockdowns or that people's lives were lost. I don't think anyone is happy and wants to return to that process. I think the challenge for Scott Jensen is I have a difficult time just in my understanding of history and what occurred under the Nazi Party and under Adolf Hitler to compare me having to wear a mask to the grocery store and to Target as to anything that occurred under the Holocaust, in the Holocaust. It just boggles the mind. And what you see with Jensen is a number of unforced errors. And you know, it was when he came out of the state convention, he was, you know, it was, and leading up to the convention, he was talking about banning abortion.
Yeah.
There have been a number of unforced errors that Jensen has in his campaign, both Jensen and Burke have engaged in. And it's just not a good way to run a campaign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on social media and stuff, this kind of commentary comes up. And, you know, I'm critical of it. And I think a lot of people are critical of it because I don't think anyone is happy that we had to go through a pandemic. No one is excited about, I'm certainly not. I wasn't happy with the fact that I had to wear a mask, but I certainly don't compare it to anything that occurred in the Third Reich.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind that Jensen has this commentary and these type of statements. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I said this to a reporter when I was talking about it. The problem that Jensen has here, and is this the problem, is politicians and candidates are human beings. They make mistakes. They make gaffes. They're videotaped. They're tracked. People are human. Mistakes happen all the time. The problem with Jensen is that when these mistakes happen, he doubled down and he tripled down because he believes this garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is. We have someone running for governor on a major party ticket who thinks what occurred in Minnesota during COVID is comparable to what was done to Jews and other groups during World War II under the Nazis. It's just appalling.
You know, he's tried to, since that time, tried to move on to policy issues. And frankly, and I'll let you evaluate because, I mean, the way I look, I mean, I know I'm coming in a little skewed. But, you know, you brought up abortion. He brought up abortion. Well, now basically he says, well, what I said before, I didn't really mean, which leads everyone to say, well, what did you say before? He brought up his budget proposal, which puts a $15 billion hole in the state's budget. And it has no plans or at least, you know, answers when people say, well, how are you going to replace that $15 billion hole that you put in there? He goes after Walls on the pandemic and what happened during the pandemic. And then I don't know if you saw Callahan's story over on MinnPost. It basically, if you factor all the polls in together, Minnesota was the fourth best state in the nation under the pandemic. I don't know if you really want to go down there, as you also kind of alluded to, that no one was happy with the pandemic. So I don't know if it's necessarily a winning thing. And then he does his school thing, which might be the least troublesome, but it basically is just pushing out the Republican talking points, which for the most part, charter schools are not exactly popular. People would prefer to have the public schools. Vouchers are not exactly popular. It's great within his party, but I don't know if that's a message that's going to resonate. I'm seeing him trying to get to policy issues, but I'm seeing, once again, unforced errors. How do you not know how you're going to fill that $15 billion hole? How do you not know that the national polls, when you average them together, show Minnesota did actually fairly well? I mean, it's kind of one of those things where they got – it's like they come up with the idea, the talking point, and then they don't do the research they need to do to say, is this a good talking point to put forward?
I think abortion is probably the best example. I mean, Jensen came out as he was, you know, in the days and weeks before the MNGOP state, the Republican state convention, and he said that he would ban abortion. Mm-hmm. You can't unring that bell. And so for Jensen and Burke to now come out there and say that this race isn't about being governor, that the race for governor isn't about abortion, he's just wrong. Because when a candidate for governor goes out and says that that's what they're going to do in office, that's what the race is about. And Jensen and Burke can't unring that bell. They can't put the tooth back in the toothpaste back in. It's out. And it's the problem that Jensen has had is that what he's been talking about, and I said this to a Republican, and I said, look, I said, if Jensen could talk about policy like he talks about, if he could talk about winnable policy issues instead of talking about the Nazis and abortion, this race would be much closer, and he hasn't shown an ability to do that. It is literally every week there's been a problem. And so when Jensen comes out with, some would say, a less than creative education plan, but it's 10 points, there's some policy there. We can have a policy discussion on.
Yes.
The problem is that we're coming in after a week where we've been talking about Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And that's the problem, is that it really becomes a problem to have a substantive policy discussion when you have a candidate out there talking about Nazis and the Holocaust and COVID and this is what occurred. I will say to you, there is a lot of things about going back to COVID. The problem that I think that Republicans are going to have is about COVID is they may disagree with Walz's position on what he did with COVID. But the question is, do most Minnesotans think that Walz was part of the problem? Or was he think? Do, are they going to think that he was part of the solution, doing the best that he can? And I don't think that the case has been effectively made that Walz was part of the problem. It doesn't mean that I don't think mistakes were made. I think everyone would acknowledge that there's mistakes that were made.
Of course,
but
yeah.
It wasn't a perfect situation. And so the problem I think that Jensen and Republicans have on COVID is, I think a number of people that support Walz would say, yeah, there are some things that could have been done better. But when you're in the midst of a crisis, when you're in the midst of a medical emergency, and you're trying to work your way out of the problem, and you're governing a state, mistakes are going to happen. And I don't think that Jensen, particularly on the matter of COVID, I think that he and some of the Republicans have miscalculated a bit about what the reaction from the body politic is going to be about that. Because I fundamentally think that people are more than willing to acknowledge that mistakes were made, but I don't think that they blame Walz for making those mistakes. You know what I'm trying to say is that they believe he was more of the solution, trying to solve things, and if mistakes were made, they were made in the process of trying to make things better. The problem that Jensen's going to have.
Hindsight hurts the Republicans on that, because I think most people, exactly like you said, look back, it's like, I mean, it was new for, I mean, the last time we had something like this was 100 years earlier. And so, you know, there was a lot of plans that had to be kind of, you know, formulated on the spot. Is this then, and by the way, Michael Broadcorp joining us, is this the problem? I mean, I think that Republican politicians today need to have someone go to them and say, get off these far-right extremist websites that basically give you a very distorted view on the race you're about to go down this hill. Because with its Jensen, Crockett, whether it's politicians across the country, there's a lot of Republicans that seem to be much more in, not necessarily in this, but you'll get the idea, is the QAnon sort of stuff. They are out on that extremist fringe. And they're spending 4 hours a day out on that extremist fringe and then wondering why they're not resonating with the mass population when it comes to trying to talk to the base or even the independents or moderate Democrats. And I think that there is just this delusion that what's online is not the real world. And I don't think a lot of these Republicans are realizing that.
Jensen, I would completely agree with you. The problem with Jensen is particularly about the comments related to COVID and Nazis. That was a speech he probably gave. Those are comments that he probably gave when running for governor that he probably got a rousing applause for. And he hasn't repositioned himself as a general election candidate. And so Jensen has been running without, in all honesty, not reaching out to, I think, a broad body of Minnesotans. He hasn't matured as a candidate. He hasn't grown as a candidate. He hasn't developed his message. I mean, this is someone, again, who said when he was running for governor, was seeking the Republican endorsement right before that, he was going to ban abortion. And now he wants people to pretend or to think that that's just something we can move past that.
Yeah.
That's what the race is. Now a defining issue in the race. And it's going to be, part of the reason why it's a defining issue is because Scott Jensen made it a defining issue. So did Matt Burke. They have flip-flopped and waffled on so many things. And the problem is these aren't small issues. I mean, it's been on guns. It's been on the Second Amendment. It's been on abortion. On a number of these issues, they're just not running, I think, a well-run campaign. And their campaign structure, I don't think, to your point, has brought in a number of what I would say to be a common sense, reasonable Republicans who actually live in the real world. And understand that, you know, who believe that the earth is round, who believe that Donald Trump lost the election,
yes,
and who believe in science when it comes to a pandemic and COVID.
And it's been 18 months. He's been on the trail for 18 months, putting out the most extremist rhetoric to win the Republican nomination. And it's like someone has to, you know, there has to be someone within any political party, because the same thing happens on the Democratic side. They always come out there and they run on the extremes, and then the general election's back to the middle. And no one has basically grabbed him and said, all those people that you were hanging out with for the last 12 months, get rid of them because they are not helping your cause.
I mean, he's still struggling to this day to answer the question if Donald Trump lost the election.
Yeah, he is.
Or does he believe that Donald Trump won the election? He's still finding a way to couch that answer, and we're nearly to Labor Day. I mean, we have a candidate for governor on the Republican side who's been all over the map on the issue of abortion, who's been all over the map on the issue of the Second Amendment. And those are core issues to Republicans. And the problem that Jensen is having is that I think he's trying to be everyone to everything, but he seems to be prioritizing the most hardcore element inside the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's a parent out there I travel in a wide range of political circles. I travel in a circle of people who voted for Trump, even though I never did. Democrats, Republicans, a whole host of people. I never heard the Nazi comparison until out of someone's really, really mouth until Scott Jensen said it. Then you start to peel back where some of this rhetoric has come from, and it's in these Republican circles. He really has mainstreamed a lot of extremist commentary. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what you can look at with Scott Jensen, I think you can say to yourself, yeah, I mean, I saw memes and stuff during the pandemic about it, but to see a candidate for governor speak up about it, that didn't happen until Scott Jensen came along. Yeah. I didn't hear the other candidates for governor doing it.
No.
And so I think Jensen is getting a lot of his political analysis and his political positions on what's the latest meme on Facebook with some local party unit, and that's not the way to govern the state.
Absolutely not. Michael Broadcorp, once again, the website, michaelbroadcorp.com. The Twitter feed is exceptional. If you're not following his Twitter feed, you need to be on Twitter. That's mbroadcorp as well. Anything else we need to promote?
No, that's it. I appreciate you're always so kind and allowing me to come on Thanks. I might have some Tupperware or aluminum siding to sell next time I'm on, but we'll see about that, okay?
The Girls Are Gone is a fantastic book. If you've not gotten that book, go get the book. You can find a link for it on Michael Broadcorp's webpage. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Have a great day.
You got it. Michael Broadcorp will spotlight that interview as well. We'll take a break, come on back, wrap up the show for a Wednesday. When we return, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.